Our gospel is from the 34th. Wow, that's interesting. 24th chapter of Matthew, verse 36 to 44. Jesus says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Up to that day, Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would have not have let his house be broken into. So also you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." The Gospel of our Lord. Please have a seat. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Yes, I'm a new grandfather. I don't have pictures today. I'll share those later. I got in late last night, but I'll tell you what, Ezra has the role of baby Jesus nailed for this Christmas. I mean, at their Christmas play, he certainly will be baby Jesus. And it was such a joy to meet him and such a joy to see this their new family growing. I grew up listening to my siblings' music. When I was 8, my brother was 18, my sister was 16. And they purchased together some TV offer of something like 100 hits of the 70s on 45 records. And the record player for many months were playing those hits nonstop, 45s, like "A Bridge Over Troubled Water," you know, those songs. And then "Cracklin' Rose, Rosie, Get On Board, We're Gonna Ride Till There Ain't No." So I heard all these songs, and "American Woman," you know, all these 70s hits that came out. I don't remember what songs were on the CD of the CDs, the 45 records exactly. I actually Googled the top songs of 1970 for today. But Simon and Garfunkel, I found out on their top hit, which was the number one song of 1970, "Bridge Over Troubled Waters," on the A side. On the B side was a song called "Keep the Customer Satisfied." Ever heard that one? No, think not. On Neil Diamond's "Cracklin' Rose," A side, on the B side was the song "Lordy." Never heard of that either. Usually there's only one good song on a 45 record. That's the way record companies can sell more records, is they only give you one song that you need to buy, and then you can usually not listen to the B side at all. But I remember my brother and sister going through who was going to get what records and listening to the B side for 15 to 30 seconds to see if it was a good enough song or not. And most of them were rejected and they only listened to the A side. The Guess Who, though, who sang the song "American Woman" on the B side of their 45 was "No Sugar Tonight." Both of those songs were actually really good songs. Now, all this insight into the decade of the early 70s is to set up our sermon series on Advent, in case you're wondering. Advent is like the B-side of a hit record. Everyone gets, and it's the B-side of Christmas. Everyone gets excited about Christmas. Stores begin selling Christmas items in September. Some stores, if you go up to Frankenmuth, Michigan, and other places, they have Christmas 24 hours a day probably, but 365 days a year. They have the Christmas Wonderland. many people celebrate Christmas year-round. I know in Minnesota, there are people that left their tree up all year, if you believe it. They would put different decorations on it, but it was always the Christmas tree. We decorate for Christmas. We sing carols of Christmas. We listen to Christmas music. But for the next 4 weeks, I'm inviting you to flip that record over to the B-side and discover the joy of Advent. For the next 4 weeks, I'm asking you to listen to the B-side. The gift of Advent is to be present to the Lord, who knows you and is coming again for you. Just be. This is easier than you may think, actually, because Advent is present in our Christmas celebrations and preparations. But we're not always aware that that's Advent. Anyone here wrap presents and put them under the tree and then wait until Christmas to open them? Anyone do that? You put presents under the tree? That is Advent, waiting. Anyone here have sentimental ornaments that you put on the Christmas tree? You remember and ponder special times and memories? Anyone do that? We do. That is an Advent theme, ponder. Anyone here decorate, make food, make cookies for your family when you're having Christmas time? You are preparing. That's an Advent theme. Prepare, be ready. The B-side of Christmas is Advent. And so all the weekly themes that we're going to be looking at over the next 4 weeks begin with the letter B. Be ready, born again, blessed, and behold. And today's theme is be ready. And I think if you listen carefully to the gospel and the other readings that were read this morning, you would have an element of be ready in each one of them. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Jesus being born at Christmas. God becoming flesh. And the first Advent, Sunday of Advent, is focusing on Jesus coming again, his return. Paul writes to the church in Rome, which was read, to be ready, to live in such a way that you will be prepared for Jesus to return at any moment. He writes, "So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh." You see, once you experience the purity of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the love of Jesus, you will desire to walk in light and shun the deeds of darkness. For a lot of people, that means your language cleans up, right? You don't put filth into your minds. You wake up on Sunday morning, you come to church instead of sleep in. You move toward the light and you move toward the Lord who knows you and loves you. This Advent, it's to realize that the greatest gift of Christmas is the giver, God. The giver, the Lord of the universe, is present to you. And our first reading today, and one of the readings, our readings for the B-side of Christmas each Sunday, will be from Isaiah. And Isaiah captures the theme of Advent wonderfully. And I'm going to call this section today, Hopeful Waiting. If you'd like, open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 2. It's on page 550 in your pew Bible. Isaiah is not only speaking about the coming of the Messiah, which they were anticipating, but he's speaking about the second coming of Jesus. And there's some amazing things that he talks about what's going to happen at that time. Again, it's on page 550. Just going to highlight a few of the verses. Verse 2, it says that these things will happen in the last days. So the last days meaning in the future. But it also refers to the first coming of Christ and his second coming. It's a technical term for the messianic age, whenever that's said. It says that the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of all the mountains. Now, we know that Everest is the highest mountain in the world. Denali is the highest mountain in North America. But it says here that Zion will be the highest mountain in the world. It will be exalted above the hills, and the nations will stream to it. That's this image that the entire peoples of the world will be drawn to Zion, will be drawn to Jesus, will be drawn to what happened there. It's the good news, the gospel. It's the gospel that says Jesus saved you. He loves you. He died for you. The cross, when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he said, I will draw all people to myself. That's what this is referring to, the cross and his coming again. Verse 3, it says that many peoples will come and say, but you could also put in that verse, all peoples will come and say, because this is not just a message for the Jews or even just the faithful, it's for everyone. They say, come to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us his ways and we'll walk in his paths. This is an amazing thing, that God is drawing all the people to himself in Jesus. And every time we celebrate this season and Christmas and Easter is that opportunity again to share this great hope that we have in Jesus. It says he will judge between nations and settle disputes. And then this amazing promise that they won't even need swords anymore. He's going to beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and there will never be a war again. Nation will not take up sword against nation. Now, we obviously haven't seen that yet, but that's the promise. And it's for all people. That peace is for everyone. And the sword will have no value. And that all sounds great, doesn't it? No more war, no more strife, everyone united. And we wait and we wonder, when will this be? So we wait in hope. Well, in the gospel today, Jesus teaches that even he doesn't know the time or the day when he will return. Only the Father knows. So we don't know when, and we don't know what, but we do know who. We know who. And when we know who, we can leave open the question of what and when, because our Heavenly Father is going to take care of that. We can guess, and many people have made guesses about when the end of the world is coming and when the Armageddon is going to be and everything else. But if you make a guess like that, you will surely be made a fool of, because even Jesus himself doesn't know the time and the day. He says that, but we know who, and that we can be for sure, and we know his graciousness. Jesus refers to Noah. He said at the time of Noah, when the people were caught up in their normal activities, they didn't know or believe that a flood was coming. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were partying. They were working. They totally missed it. They missed the big picture, and they were unaware. And then Jesus goes on to share something that's kind of confusing, maybe a little bit disconcerting. These rapture passages where he says, when the Son of Man returns, some will be taken up in a miraculous way. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding with the handmill and one will be taken, the other left. Now, before you jump to figuring out who's who, it's interesting here. The Lord does not specify who will be taken and who will be left. Both are working, both are doing the same thing. Why is only one taken? Well, while we know what it means to walk in the light, to live in such a way that honors the Lord, to know and be known by him, I think Jesus is wanting us to curb the temptation to determine who is the one left behind and who is the one taken. Jesus doesn't specify here the specifics of who's in and who's out. And I think that's to remind us that that's not our job. We're not the judge. Jesus frees us from that. And instead, Jesus wants to bear us to bear witness to everyone. See, if we knew our certain neighbor was definitely on the outs with God, would we want to have a relationship with that person? There's no point, right? They're lost. But Jesus doesn't give the qualifications for being taken up. He is a judge, not us, but he does tell us this in this passage, verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. Understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. So stay awake, be ready. But this is a terribly negative image. This can cause a lot of anxiety. How can I be ready all the time? Does he tell us this to invoke fear in us or to scare us into faith or believing? I think it's important to recognize here that God is a loving father. And a loving father teaches his children good things. This is not a believer else, or you'll get left behind passage. Yet, it is a warning, but the warning is to stay awake. Look around and see the Lord's activity. It's all around us. And when we see the movement of his, the sign of his movement, we can jump and say, look, there he is. There's Jesus. Here he comes. Trying to think of what I could compare this to, and I thought of this. If your kids or your grandkids are coming for the holidays or coming for over to sleep over at your house, what do you do? Well, you want to make the beds, right? You want to get your house ready. We want to make some food. We want to prepare and make plans for what you're going to do when they're there so that you can fill their days with memorable and great activities, right? I think that's a hopeful waiting. And if you're picking them up at the airport, you might even arrive a little bit early so that you can park the car and actually walk into the terminal so when they come down the escalator, you're there and you can greet them and you can hug them and you can be ready. And there's this joyous, joyous reunion. And when you see them, you jump for joy and they run to you and you run to them and you embrace them. That's a grand reunion. Friends, that's what we're waiting for. The grand reunion with Jesus. We rejoice, we celebrate. And when he comes, we run to him. When he gets a hold on you, hear this, he will never let you go. So let this season of Advent be exactly that, a season of hopeful waiting. To be ready. And for the next 4 weeks, listen to the B-side of Christmas. The gift of Advent is to be present to the Lord who knows you and who is coming again for you. Let us pray. Oh Jesus, thank you for the joy of the hope we have in your coming again. You're going to make everything right. There's going to be peace. There's going to be love. There's going to be restoration. And we don't need to fear that day, only we are called to be ready, to live as kids in the light, not in the darkness. And Lord, when we are come into the light, we see that's the place we really want to be anyway. So thank you. Thank you for the gift of this season to prepare, get ready, and wait in hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.